The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you are well, healthy, and feeling well relatively. It takes on a whole new meaning right now. Whatever's going on in your life physically and mentally, we're here for it.
Whether you're listening alone in your home because you're alone, or with your partner, or on a walk, I hope, or doing the dishes, or because you can't sleep right now and you just decided to listen to us to make you fall asleep. I don't know. We care for you. We're here for you. We're all in the same boat, peeps. And this is going to be a really great episode. I'm super stoked about this one.
Yeah, so today's episode, we do have a guest joining us, and a little background, because we have been recalibrating. We've been editing and moving things around on our schedule for what we publish every week or what we put out there, because as we've said before, not all of our episodes were about the timely situation that we're all in with the coronavirus and the pandemic and the isolation and all of that. So we've been busy recording new episodes so that we can intersperse them with our pre-recorded episodes that are more evergreen. And we came to a point where we're looking at what episodes we've already done, and we had interviewed the woman behind Aisle Talk, and her name is Landis Behar. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Yes, we interviewed Landis already about
it was
a month ago.
Not even, was it? It was, oh yeah, almost. Because I got to your house, I think, on March 6th.
Yes, so early in March.
And today is April 1st that we're recording. Tell.
We interviewed Landis about therapy, and specifically wedding planning, that time of your life, and seeking therapy or maybe needing some help or guidance during that time as a couple or as an individual. And that was our topic at the time. And I think it would have been a great episode to put out.
It was interesting too, you guys, because just as a side note, we had this scheduled with Landis, and then I decided to fly out to Arizona to spend the weekend with Christy. And I hopped on a flight. This is before we were in dire situations here in the world with COVID, or at least in the US, or at least that we were aware of. Mm-hmm. And I flew out there, and my flight was supposed to arrive just in the nick of time that Christy would be able to pick me up at the airport, and then we would drive to her house and we'd start recording with Landis on time. But of course, flight was delayed and Christy started without me. I took a car, I got there, came in midway, sat next to Christy in her bedroom and just joined the interview. And it was fun. It was cool. But after we kind of thought about it over again, we're like, listen, we need to re-interview Landis because shit's going down right now. And Landis, you're a therapist, and you work with married, or rather a lot of engaged couples. And so we're just like, do over.
The episode was always going to be aimed at people within a couple that are planning weddings. And it still is, but it has the added and very important and influential layer of now you maybe have been stuck in a house for 3 weeks with that same person. And what does that feel like? Or all the stress of having to reschedule, or maybe you're not together and you're used to being together, or maybe one of you works in the medical field, or, you know, there's so many stresses on top of just regular old wedding planning at this point. So we wanted to angle it that way. And luckily Landis also finds herself with a little time on her hands and could reschedule with us. And we're happy to have you back. So welcome. I'm going to read your blurb, but for all of you out there that are at your computers and wanting to check this out, it's Aisle Talk, like aisle, like a wedding aisle, aisle-talk.com, or at I'll Talk on Instagram, and you can see who Landis is and what she's putting out in the world. I'll Talk helps stressed out brides and grooms manage wedding stress so they can actually feel happy as they plan the happiest days of their lives. Landis Behar, LMHC, is a licensed mental health counselor in New York City and founder of I'll Talk Consultation and Therapy. I'll Talk is therapy and coaching practice devoted to working with brides and grooms experiencing stress during the process of planning their wedding, a moment in time that, from the outside, can seem fabulous and euphoric, but on the inside often brings up concerns related to partnership, stress management, mood changes, body image, family strain, and much, much more. Right now, that might be, I don't know how to do this when you are 4 feet away from me in my 500 square foot apartment and you're driving me freaking nuts. And I also just learned that you're the kind of person that says, let's circle back.
And if I hear you chew one more freaking time.
So Landis helps clients deal with the stress so that planning does not take the excitement out of the process, nor the joy from the wedding day. And right now she's with us to speak about wedding planning and cohabitating or not in the time of coronavirus. Welcome, Landis.
Thank you both so much for having me again. I wish it was under different circumstances, but I think that the things we're going to cover today are so important to talk about.
Super important.
I'm glad to be here to talk about them, and I think I need to edit some website copy today to include corona-related stress.
Can we just talk? Yeah. Oh, you haven't edited it yet, huh?
Well, I guess I'm coming to my own acceptance of the fact that this is now part of what we're talking about regularly.
Yeah. Well, you've got time, Landis.
I do have time.
I mean, maybe you don't. You probably have a lot of clients. But can I just ask you something? Because I just mentioned this. Chewing. This is something I've noticed. If my husband is eating and I am not, I have never noticed how loud it sounds.
Oh,
the
yeah.
person is chewing food. Have you guys noticed this?
That's something like, I would really notice, I don't think.
Oh. I think you would. I don't know.
I'm around people eating also.
And but this is even before coronavirus, okay? When he chews, and he doesn't chew with his mouth open, he's very, you know, good manners. You just hear it. You hear it. So I have found that I need to eat at the same time he eats or else it drives me a little bit nuts. That's just, I'm just going to throw it out there.
We all have something like that. It might not be that specific one, but we all have something like
that. Okay. Well, I'm sure there's plenty of people listening that also feel this way. Okay.
No, it's okay.
Yeah. It's okay. Just eat at the same time or walk out of the room. But don't say like, God, you chew so loud. Okay. First piece of advice right there.
I love it.
That's important.
Has my stamp of approval.
Thank you. Thank you. So do you want to quickly talk about how you got into, because this is a very specific
Is it couples therapy. Counseling? Like what makes your therapy towards this couples at this point in their life?
Mm-hmm. So I'll Talk, is a therapy and coaching practice, made up of, until recently, it had just been me, but I'm very happy, actually, officially, since we last spoke, I have two new therapists that I've brought on board.
Wow.
I mean, I have three incredible therapists, including myself, who provide individual counseling, couples counseling, family counseling, premarital counseling, and coaching to deal with wedding-related stress. And that's where we get specific. We're really kind of specific around this life stage, this life transition, and all the things that come with it. But within that kind of niche, we cover a lot because we're family therapists, we're couples therapists, and we can meet you in a lot of different places that you might be during this time. Much like you may have gone to a college counseling center at one point in your life, and it's specific to the time and the place that you're in. But one person might come in with relationship issues, and the other person might come in with roommate issues, and the other person with academic stress and, you know, things about the future. And so we're kind of like that, but for the getting married phase of life.
Can I ask you right off the bat, this occurred to me, and this might be very helpful to couples listening. Mm-hmm. What would you say are the top three stress or you know, challenges couples come to you with specifically having to do with wedding planning? What are the big ones?
Yeah, so the big ones would definitely be partnership stress and just having difficulty navigating this time together. So you're getting in more arguments. It's kind of like a pressure cooker for maybe some things that have already been laying low a little bit in the relationship, but they're really being, you know, kind of brought to the surface during this time.
Because you might both come to something from very different, like, yes, when it's a decision that needs to be made is like, you think what?
Yes. Yeah. It's a big, it's like one decision after the other.
Right.
So it can really be a pressure cooker for a lot of like existing relationship stuff or non-existing relationship.
Yeah. You didn't even know.
Totally new stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then I say the second one is like family of origin stuff. So your family and like what their expectations are, your fiance's family and what his or her expectations are. And kind of like negotiating what we want as a couple versus what's important to our families, and doing that in sort of a way that aligns with who you are. So doing it in a tactful way, doing it in a polite way, doing it in a direct way, whatever those things are. So kind of navigating that. Mm-hmm. And I'd say the third thing is budget, which is just like a big, you know, finances, budget, things like that, which is sort of very vague, but shows up in a lot of different ways. So I think those would be like top three for
sure. The top three. Yeah.
And yeah, we should mention that something that was enlightening the first time we talked to you for me was it's not just couples like the two people getting married during this time, but there is a lot oftentimes where stuff is baggage, whatever, brought to the surface between a person and their mom or their dad or their sister or yes, sibling or someone involved when you're planning a wedding and you know, there is family involvement and more family communication and more family decisions that have to be made. So something to think about during this time, it's not just couples that are stuck together all over the country. It's families, people in their childhood homes, like me with their parents, where we haven't lived together, you know, full time for a really long time. So all those dynamics might lead to the need for some stress relieving exercises or communication, you know, tricks that might help during this time. But I think it's important to say that we know you're not going to be able to fix something or, you know, really just change something in a day. Like all of this does take work and compromise and maybe a little bit of inner introspection about your own way that, you know, you're operating. I think that will help get my head around what's about to happen.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I think that, you know, our interview today, I hope it's a little microcosm of what we do in our sessions at IL Talk is like, it involves all of those things. It involves introspection. It involves, you know, articulating like new insights and new revelations and then communicating them in the best way possible to the people who matter. So we'll try to infuse a little bit of that today because that's kind of what we're always working on in our sessions and hopefully what a lot of us are working on, you know, in life.
Where did the idea come from to start this?
I feel like there's like a lot of touch points throughout my adult life and career where I had ideas vaguely around this, but it kind of really came to life in a very organic way in a bridal dress salon with my sister-in-law and my mother-in-law having an argument about the fit of a dress that she was trying on. And I'd kind of spoken to this a little bit in our other interview, which is just like I've been shopping with them a million times, and my sister-in-law's mother has made lots of comments. They have a super open relationship. They are very easygoing with each other. And it's never been, there's never been a fight like the one that I witnessed between them. It was such an argument. It was so heated. And I realized in that time, well, first of all, like I'm a family therapist. So being the third person in that dynamic, I was like, couldn't turn off and had to sort of say, you know, help everyone come to an agreement and see eye to eye and help smooth out the conversation. But after that, I realized like, oh, it's something about this dress and this outfit and this shopping experience that's different than the rest. It's because it's coming with this wedding stamp on it. I'm shopping for my wedding dress. I'm not shopping for any other dress. So it became heightened. It's back to that pressure cooker analogy. So from there, I kind of thought like, wow, you know, this is an issue that comes up for folks. And my mother-in-law was the one to say, wow, good thing we brought the therapist along. You should be a wedding therapist. And from there, it kind of took off.
That was your aha moment.
That was my aha moment. And I haven't stopped thinking about it since. And so we're talking about pressure cookers. And like, I feel like I've always talked about the wedding as a pressure cooker for other family or couples or individual issues. And now I feel like where we are in this moment, this sort of coronavirus infused lockdown shelter in place moment of global history, that's a pressure cooker as well.
Huge so pressure cooker. Literally your home is like a pressure cooker.
And so if you're engaged, you've got pressure cooker on top of pressure cooker right now.
So it's like a Russian doll of pressure cookers.
Yes, nesting pressure
there's
cooker.
There's like an Instapot, and then there's a crock pot, and then there's another Instapot inside of it, a mini pot, a Minstapot.
Yes. A Minstapot.
Visual.
So just jumping right into that, I mean, there's couples together right now listening to this. There are individuals who maybe, you know, are wedding professionals who are single listening to this. And much like Christy's kind of stuck in Texas right now and with her kids at her parents' house, luckily. It's a wonderful place to be right now. But her husband, Lance, is in Arizona, and they don't know when they're going to see each other for a while. And I think that I'd love to just kind of dive into right off the bat, you know, what people are facing right now, and maybe just some tips for some very, you know, some mental health tips right now, things to keep in mind, things to do. I mean, you see this all over the internet, but I mean, just really just talking this through with a therapist right now, everyone listening, you know, what would you tell? What should we tell people right now?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, like, I want to just acknowledge how heavy this is for every person going through it. I think a lot of us feel we are feeling so much. And then on top of that, we have these secondary emotions about how we should be feeling, right? So sometimes those should feelings can be really complicated. For instance, if you might be going through this and panicking about, you know, job security, the next person might be panicking about somebody physically ill. The next person might be panicking about having to cancel their wedding or missing a milestone of some kind. And I think that for a lot of folks that I talk to, clients and non-clients included, there can be a sense of strain about how to feel or how I'm supposed to feel. How I'm allowed to feel.
Exactly. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So I think that the first thing that I, you know, as a mental health professional want to put out there to anybody who's listening is that you are allowed to feel anything that you feel right now, and it's okay. And you have permission to feel that way. And it is, if you start the secondary feelings of like, oh, but I shouldn't feel that way, or people are worse off, or this or that, have gratitude and keep perspective in this whole thing. Yes, always. But also you're allowed to be upset about the things that you're upset about, and you're allowed to be challenged by the things that you're challenged by.
It doesn't take away from anybody else's experience of it when you, because I feel guilty sometimes.
Yeah.
I feel like this is confession time. Like, I feel guilty that mm-hmm. I'm staying here in Texas because it's easier in a lot of ways for me.
Mm-hmm.
My parents are so helpful and so, you know, here for me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it would be way more challenging for me with both the kids in Arizona if Lance is working every day, which he is, and I was basically home alone. But mm-hmm. I'm taking my family away from my husband by making that decision. And he's very supportive and very pragmatic and is like, we need to do what is safe. We need to do what is best for the kids. That is staying there. I'm not getting a guilt trip. I'm giving myself the guilt trip at times. And it's not all the time. For the majority of the time, I feel like everybody else. I'm anxious. I'm stressed. I'm grateful that we're right now healthy, you know, things like that. I'm checking in with my loved ones. But occasionally this feeling of, am I selfish or am I a bad person that I actually think like, oh, this is, my situation's not that bad. Mm-hmm. And then I have to talk myself out of that. So you're right. You just layer one crappy feeling on top of the other. And that still is not going to make my husband feel any less, like he's not going to miss us any less because I'm beating myself up about it.
Exactly.
So I have to remember that too. I have friends who have newborns. I have friends who have, who are pregnant and they're going through something really different, but it's okay if they have a day where they're like, actually it was kind of nice that we just stayed in all day and like never put real pants on. That felt, that felt nice. And then you feel bad for feeling that way.
Exactly. I can't tell you the number of people who will tell me like, oh, I'm doing okay today. And then like, but you know, you never, you, we don't know how it's going to go. You know, it's like, we can't even allow ourselves to have a moment where we're like, it's okay today. Or the other hand, oh, today was really, really hard. Like the kid, you know, the kids had a hard time with their, you know, their schoolwork. I, you know, I couldn't keep it together. I just put screens in front of them, like, you know, and I feel so bad. And it's like, no, we're in survival mode right now. You don't have to feel a negative feeling about how you're feeling. You don't have to feel guilty at a moment where you feel like you're not, it's kind of okay today. And you don't have to feel more guilty or like you should be feeling something else if you're having a hard time when it's not the worst that it could be. So I think that that's like my first sort of like emotion-based disclaimer for all of this.
That it's okay to feel whatever you're feeling and give your time self the time and space to feel it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that the other thing that I would build on top of that is that this is a series of adjustment reactions. We are on a day-to-day basis, sometimes on an hour-to-hour basis, and definitely on a week-to-week basis, adjusting to new things. The thing that was hard last week is not necessarily the thing that was hard this week, that's going to be hard this week, and not necessarily the thing that's going to be hard next week. So I think that, first of all, cutting ourselves some slack for if we're having emotional reactions to the constant, to being in a constant place of adjustment, that's really strenuous on the body. We crave structure, we crave routine. We need these things. And when we're in a constant state of like, I don't know what's coming next, or, oh my gosh, now I have to adjust to this new thing that I can't do or that I have to do or whatever, that's really stressful. So giving ourselves, cutting ourselves a little bit of slack for being in that situation, cutting those around us a little bit of slack for it, and just acknowledging that like, this is going to be ever changing, you know, and also for those of us who are future oriented and maybe really anxiously oriented, we can't necessarily predict what that new thing is going to be next week or in 2 weeks. We have to stay a little bit present in the present moment because we are not going to be able to predict that. So a little bit of giving ourselves grace and permission to be in an adjustment period and all the stress that comes with that, and then not putting too much pressure on ourselves to be able to predict that down the line. Because part of being in survival mode is this adjustment. And it sucks and it's hard, but we're all in it. We're all dealing with it.
Being flexible is what Michelle keeps saying. And we probably reference that in every episode at this point, right, Michelle? Like with wedding plans and wedding planning, but also with the circumstances you're in. Because you're right. As soon as we feel like we master something, or like, I had 3 good days of, you know, communicating with Lance, my husband, on FaceTime or whatever. And then there's going to be some, we don't know what happens next. There's going to be some other loop thrown our way. So I guess it's easy to feel like frustrated. Like, I just figured this out and now you're sending me this other thing. But remaining like, that's going to keep happening.
Right.
So try to go with the flow.
Go with the flow, but not in a way that's like, you know, you have to smile about it all the time. Like, I'm not suggesting that, you know, you just acknowledging that if you're frustrated, it is natural and understandable because never in our lives have we had to like adjust and react and adjust and react and adjust and react so quickly. I just think of that week that, and I feel it was probably like the week after I spoke to you guys last time where like things were shutting down at such a rapid rate that like I couldn't even keep my head on straight. I had whiplash. I was like, okay, well, if I can't go, if I can't go into work, then today I'll work from home and I'll like, you know, go to the gym in between. And then, oh, but wait, the gyms are closed. Okay. So maybe I'll try that gym in my building. That's not that great, but we'll make the most of it. And then I got downstairs and it was closed. And then like, it was just like a series of all of these things that I had to adjust to in a span of like a couple of days. And I think that just that we're still in a process of that. You know, we thought we could go for, we thought we could still go to this park, but wait, no, we can't be that close to people. Okay. So we're going to have to adjust to this. We thought we could be in a small group. Now we can't be with anyone we're not quarantining with. Like,
adjust and react really reminds me, if we're talking about wedding planning specifically during COVID-19, and we'll come back to this, Landis, adjust and react for a lot of client couples right now is having to reschedule the wedding.
Yes.
Exactly. Huge adjustment and reaction. And we can talk that about that a little later, but I do want to put a pin in that and say we're going to get to that, everybody. That just boom, flew into my mind right now, adjust and react. Yeah.
And completely. And having to do that multiple times, even like now the plan is this, now the plan is this. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if we could but focus on the two, just the two sides of this. One being the hypothetical for all of you out there, that's not a hypothetical. You're in a small, you're inside with your partner and it's just the two of you. Let's just say for these purposes. And then the other is you're away from your partner. And this is the person, because this is the big wedding planning podcast. Let's assume most of these people are in the, some part of their wedding planning process. Yeah. And that's the demographic. For people that are spending a lot of time very physically close to their partner, and for most people, that's not normal. You don't spend all day with the same person and all night with no other interactions physically. Mm-hmm. So what are you talking to couples about right now? Like, you know, I guess the idea of like always saying I love, you know, making sure that you still say I love you and that you still kiss sometimes. I don't know. What are we saying? Well, no,
actually,
people?
Don't say that.
Well, I'm not with my partner, you know, so.
Or in the other camp.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I think that, and, you know, I'm working mostly with couples in New York, so they are really on top of each other. Some of them are in studio apartments with not even, you know, in order to get privacy, you have to go to hang out in your bathroom for a little bit.
And they're probably very fearful of going outside because it's so prevalent in New York right now. It's just,
it's more prevalent,
a hot spot.
It's harder to take a walk without, with like maintaining that 6 foot distance.
Right.
So the options are limited. So I'm talking to the folks mostly who have, who are really tight, you know, in their resources. So I think that, you know, I'm glad that I started where I did with all of like the permission to be and the permission to feel and the acknowledgement of changing and shifting dynamics. Because I think that that's going to play really, really importantly when we talk about how to navigate this with our partner. The other thing is like, we might be experiencing, and this has been pretty prevalent for one of my couples, is like, I'm seeing my partner in a more anxious place than I have ever seen him or her before. And
Big time.
And as the anxious partner, normally I'm able to go for a jog or I'm able to go hang out with friends or I'm able to get out of this place. But right now I feel trapped and all I have is like either my thoughts or the news. And both of those things are making things worse.
Yeah.
So a big part of this conversation is like, first of all, that adjust and react to our partners and what our partners are going through and how they're experiencing this and knowing that like that's going to change. And we kind of just have to show up in a most present way and figuring out what that means. And we might be in a place of figuring out what that means. And that's really hard.
Can I throw something in? It's just a personal little, when I notice my husband reading the news, which he does all the time anyway, every morning, like he reads the news, even if this wasn't going on, but I see him doing it more. And in my mind, my opinion, it's like, it's too much. You're going too deep. I'll give him, he knows my looks. Like I'll give him a look, you know, I don't want to say stop that. Right. But I try to gently be like, don't, you know, like this could lead to a bad place.
Don't
like,
go down
we
the
don't
rabbit
really
hole.
Need to know every single thing that's going on right now. And that worries me. And he's always the one for me who is, you know, he calms me down or he puts, you know, when I'm stressing, he does those things for me and I'm feeling more like I need to step up sometimes more than usual with him. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure a lot of other people are feeling like that too.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's like adjust and react. We're adjusting and reacting to the fact that the more like usually anxious person in this relationship is now offering coping skills that we've developed over the years because we've been in therapy or we've done meditation or we're like, we've been working on this for a while that the lesser anxious person typically doesn't have available to them.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, and that's a fine line too, right? Because we can offer all these things that have been helpful to us, but at the end of the day, like they might not know, we might not know, and they might not know if that's accessible to them or if it's helpful.
Right.
But I think gentle reminders for all of us in terms of like, what is too much news? How do we set boundaries? How do we keep a schedule during the day? You know, all of these tips and tools, and how can we help each other get there? Mm-hmm. And I think that what I always recommend in terms of being able to support and show up for from one partner to the next is, yes, we can offer certain things that have been helpful to us, but at the end of the day, the best way we'll find out is asking the question, like, how can I support you right now? Or like, I feel like things are tense for you. Like I'm getting a feeling or like, I know you, you know, what's going on? What's coming up for you? What do you need right now? And kind of just showing up for that, for them in a curious way, rather than I think what a lot of us tend to do is like either at best a problem solving way or at worst, like a judgmental way.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, what is your problem?
Yeah. Like, stop it.
Why are you
you're making me uneasy.
Why are you watching so much news? You know, this is bad for you. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I noticed that you're watching the news a lot. I know for me, that can be too much at times. Like maybe we should watch some, you know, garbage TV right now or, you know, set our boundaries or something like that.
And I think the flip of asking someone, how can I help support you? The flip of it might be telling your partner how they can support you if you're aware enough of it. Like, I 100%. Do not have this issue because my husband is like literally working outside of the house for 16 hours a day. He doesn't have time to check his phone. It's like crazy time for him. But I do have some girlfriends who I love so much that are texting me every bit of scary news that they read.
Oh, no.
And it's because they are processing it and they just have to be like, did you see this? Did you see this? Mm-hmm. And I think one of my boundaries for the people that I love and who love me is going to need to be, please don't share it with me anymore. Number one, I've probably already seen it because I too am spinning out. But number two, if I'm actually enjoying a moment of levity or respite from all of this, and I'm distracted and I'm like having a good hour with my kids or something, and then I get that text that is just, we're doomed.
Yeah.
It really takes the air out. But I would have to say that if I have this conversation, I would have to say that in a loving, like, I know what you're going through, but this is something I can't take on myself. So I think knowing your needs and
that's
expressing
important,
them to
everybody.
Your partner
is
very similar to asking your partner what their needs might be, their new needs. Because we have to remember that a lot of these couples have not been together for 10 or 20 years, like Michelle and I have been with our husbands early in the relationship. And the first
and
year
again, pressure
for me
cooker.
Was, it's hard enough. It's hard enough without a pandemic.
Right. There's no precedent for this. So even if you've been together with somebody for 10, 20 years, you might be learning things that you weren't expecting, you know, or things might be taking on a much different form. And I love that you said that because, you know, asking the question does involve whoever's being asked it, like to have a little bit of insight of what they need. And so a lot of times for couples, I put out like, what are acceptable options for how to answer that question? And they might be things you hadn't thought of yet. Sometimes I just need somebody to listen to me. Sometimes I need somebody to tell me they love me, tell me that they're here, tell me it's okay. Tell me it's okay to feel that way. It's okay to not know how you feel. One option, I might need a massage. I might need a back rub. I might need a cuddle. I might need you to draw me a bath.
And if you put those options out
in the other room.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And if you put those options out like in a calm way, then they're more tools in the toolbox, proverbial, to help you when you are at like, you know, a high anxiety point or when we feel needy as women. I think a lot of times when we feel needy, that we feel like I can't ask my partner also to take care of my emotional needs right now when we're dealing with all this other stuff. So if you've already had kind of the talk of like, hey, if you see me crying in the bathroom, on the floor, maybe rub my shoulders and tell me you love me and that it's all going to be okay. And actually that will do so much more than you think it would do.
Exactly. So I always, as a therapist, I give those options. I think that sometimes we don't know what our options are when asked that question. It's like, I don't know what I need right now. Like I need coronavirus not to be here. Like what?
Can you come up with a cure for that real quick?
Yeah. So these are like, you know, some options that I put out there. And then it's a little bit of self-work to kind of stop and think like, what would be helpful to me right now? Or what has been helpful in the past? You know, in the past, my partner has rubbed my shoulders and that just kind of didn't make everything go away, but it made me come from like 10 to 4. So let me ask for that. And that sort of thing. And kind of like having the communication about asking, you know, prompting your partner, how can I help you right now? Is there anything I can do? Do you want me to just sit with you? And giving them space to say, this is what I need right now.
Yeah. I'm all about, we've been together 22 years. So we have a thing. Like we both say to each other, like, can we go lay down? Can we go lay down? That's our thing. We just go lay down. Mm-hmm. We turn on Netflix. Mm-hmm. We tell the kids we're taking a break and we just go lay down. Like that's all I need to say. Can we go lay down for a minute?
It's kind of like your recharge. And
yeah.
It's great, Michelle, when you talk about it, I've always been struck by like the person that didn't ask for that, it pretty much always says, yeah. Like it's a say yes thing.
I could lay down.
Yeah. Like even if you're like, I'm in the middle of something or I have to bang this out, like he's asking. So you, like I said this the other day too, like my parents have been married for 40 some years. And they're in this house too, dealing with this. They're used to being very busybody kind of people outside of the house. And they're pretty good about alone time, which is something I wanted to touch base with you too about this, like how to navigate that. But they also have, after this many years of marriage and some shit, like it's not been like perfect, no marriages, you know, they've made some deliberate decisions to stay together and to make their marriage work. And they are better now than they ever have been. They're incredible. But during this time I've noticed, and I haven't said anything, but I've noticed that they're both saying yes to each other when the other person asks, like, do you want to do a puzzle with me? I know my dad doesn't want to do the puzzle. Like he's like, I'm watching this movie or I'm reading my book about the Civil War. But he'll like put the book down and say yes, because I think he recognizes like we're all in this. I might as well say yes. You know,
yeah.
Mom says, do you want to go for a walk? Even if he doesn't want to, he says yes, or vice versa. And they both kind of give each other that courtesy.
Yeah.
If I were with my husband in the same house, I think that would be important too. For both of us to just say yes sometimes. And that can be like a silent agreement, but where you might come up with a reason to say no, now's a good time to practice saying yes with your partner, you know?
Totally. I think it's like it. And I think that, you know, I'm picking out silver linings all over the place in this weird environment that we find ourselves in. And the truth is that for many of us, it has been a weird time to slow down, a slow down in a way that feels truly uncomfortable in most ways. But in those ways that it doesn't feel uncomfortable and then it feels kind of nice to slow down, I think there's more opportunity to say yes to a puzzle or a lie down, because we're not in our normal hustle and bustle.
We need to be somewhere right now.
Yeah, we don't
except need for to on a conference call, perhaps.
Yeah. Perhaps, but I'll have time after that because I don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah, I literally have nowhere to go. So sure. Okay, so we want to talk about the importance of keeping distance sometimes, and then I also really want to talk about some help for those couples as well as wedding professionals that are affected by all of these rescheduled events.
So the first part being how to keep some distance, like navigating
how to close a door and not feel like an asshole,
right?
So first of all, I think that I have noticed that humor is very helpful and healthy at times defense mechanism to invite into this situation. It is not, this is not a normal or expected situation, and it is not normal to spend this much time with your partners. It's not normal to spend this much time with anyone. It's not normal to spend this much time alone. This is all very, forcing us to be in a very uncomfortable situation. So let's just remember that we spend alone time or apart time from our partners so many hours of the day. We're going on that, you know, sort of preface here. So if we need to initiate it now, it is not anything personal. It's just trying to create some normalcy here. And so I think that inviting humor sometimes can make it less personal, and put a little bit of, not to be redundant or penny or anything, but like put a little distance in between the ask, right? So, if like you have like a show or a podcast or a book that is like your escape, you can sort of like refer to it as like, I think it's private show time, or like it's private podcast time, or it's private reading time, you know, and just be gentle about it in that way. It can be polite, funny, cute, humorous, like whatever you need it to be. But it is totally allowed, and I think it's going to be healthy and comfortable for your relationship. And knowing that this is not a normal situation that we find ourselves in, and that it is totally appropriate and perhaps relationship saving to infuse that a little bit, that's your permission too. And then involve or invoke like whatever kind of language that you need to convey that message, you know. I think it's private time, you know, and whatever private time means to you, if that's a show, a book, a lie down, talking with somebody, you know, FaceTime or on the phone, you know, we're having to be creative about what that means too, what it means to get away. So just kind of saying like, this is I'm just taking my space. I've had a long day at work from home. I need an interruption. You know, I need to just go space out.
Yeah. It occurred to me, or I read somewhere, about that buffer time between work and home where most people drive a car or get on the BART or, you know, something to get home. And that's when you zone out or you listen to your music, but it also helps you shake like work off before you walk in the door. And that's true for my husband. Like, he listens to Howard Stern, and I don't love Howard Stern, but for like, he has a 45-minute commute. So for him, it's like the segue between work and home. And my brother and his partner are both working from home, and they said after they finish working and they close their computers, and they have a giant loft, so it doesn't even have any doors except for the bathroom. Like, it's crazy big open, but they'll finish their work and kind of be like, okay, we're finished, no more work, and then they'll go to their own parts of the house or put on their headphones or do something or watch a show or do something alone for a little bit of time, 30 minutes, whatever, before they start cooking dinner or like meeting back, and then they meet back in the kitchen table and are like, okay, now we're back for couples time rather than like work and couples time just meshing all into one giant mess and you can't tell one end from the other. And that's worked for them.
I love that. I love that because I've talked to folks, not necessarily from a couple's perspective, but just in terms of like communicating to your body the difference between like sleep mode to work mode, and work mode to home mode, and then home after work mode to sleep mode again. Mm-hmm. Like we have these natural transitions in our day when we have to shower and we have to change our clothes and we have to put on makeup and we have to commute and we have to, you know, all the things that we have to do. Those are natural transitions in the day that communicate to our body that we're transitioning from one thing to the next. But if we're doing everything from home right now and like maybe aren't doing video calls and things like that, like we could be in our PJs all day. Like we could just be in our bed all day, honestly. And we could just like, that could all be more of a blur. So having some sort of routine in the morning and then as you end the day, and that kind of like closing your laptop, maybe doing like a little exercise at home or a walk or whatever. That all is like a message to your body that we're transitioning into a different mode now.
And once it's in your body, it can be in your mind. Even that works vice versa. But I noticed that helps me sometimes, like really like physically, like you said, changing mm-hmm. the sweatshirt I'm wearing or like doing a little bit of body work before I go to the next part of the day. And that helps with maintaining that schedule and that routine, which you talked about from the beginning. And all of you, anybody that's just locked in their house right now knows that routines change every day, but it is key to have one of mm-hmm. some sort. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah, and even
that
if
time
you,
where you're just like, what am I doing?
Even if you set it out for yourself and it doesn't go awry or it goes awry and like it doesn't go according to plan, because remember, adjust and react and adjust, react, that whole thing. At least, you know, like putting the plan in place and wrapping your mind around that mentally can do a lot, I think, to manage some of these days. And then knowing if you don't get to everything on your list, like permission to not get to everything on your list.
Very good. And so I also just want to, I want to get to reschedules, but it occurred to me that there probably are listeners out there and many just people out there right now. And I think about this often who live alone, mm-hmm. who are alone mm-hmm. in their homes and don't have any other human interaction. Mm-hmm. Do you have any clients like that? I mean, I know you're working with couples, Landis, mm-hmm. I just wonder if there's any advice out there to those people who are just like feeling pretty lonely right now and by themselves.
Oh, completely. I think that, first of all, I do have many clients like that. And even people who are partnered, they're not necessarily cohabitating or they're in long distance relationships or their partners are frontline workers. And so they're quarantining away from them or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of different scenarios where somebody might be just alone all the time. And I think that, many of the things that we spoke about carry over on the individual basis too. So I think that, you know, creating some sort of schedule for yourself, that involves changes physically that communicate to your mind and body that we're kind of moving from one sort of, mode to the next. And I think that, you know, just trying to adhere to that a little bit, to take some sort of semblance of a structure. I think that, monitoring what your news intake is, and just finding a balance for that works for you. And that's your sources of news, your frequency of news. And it's putting barriers between you and news that's coming from like friends or family that you're not feeling great about. Making time to connect with people via FaceTime. There's a lot of awesome resources that many kind of support groups, mental health groups, common interest groups are leading online. So maybe doing like one of those a day or a couple of those a week. Being physical and then connecting with loved ones, I think is really, really important. And I think that it's a little bit hard right now when everything we're doing is virtual. So I think that just like acknowledging that sometimes that is a little bit difficult, But once we do it, it feels good, you know?
That is so true, that once you do it, it feels good for the virtual stuff. I was not all on board with like the virtual birthday parties and the happy hours and all that until probably this past week. And it's helped that I see Michelle, you know, anyway, because we were always Skyping like this or Zooming, but with my other friends and my family. And like, I just thought, I'm not the kind of person that would do that anyway. I'm kind of a texter. But I have done it now several times, and I have another one, you know, coming up tonight with some girlfriends of mine from Arizona. And it's almost like a drug. Like, I feel so good afterwards that it fuels me to do it, to plan for the next one and then show up. You know,
keep the old plan.
The old Christy might have been like, oh, we scheduled this thing, but I don't feel good. I'm doing something else. And then, you know, you flake out or whatever on plans if you're a homebody or you even like being whatever. But it's been so nice to like connect with friends, even ones I didn't see all that often prior to this, like my long distance friends, to see their face and for us to like share has been nothing but a positive experience. And with my husband and with all of you that are, you know, away from your partners or your lovers right now, even 5 minutes of FaceTime as he's like walking in and out of something or we're in between things is vital to our family staying connected. And I know the word connect, you know, connect with all this stuff is probably overused, but it's unfortunate because it's
a great word. It's a very important word in our world. And it's a little bit diluted right now just because we're trying to figure out how to maintain that, in a very disconnected time. But that there's always the temptation to sort of like bow out at the last minute or feel like you don't want any more of that time. Because everything in our world is like via Zoom or FaceTime right now. So there's like, sometimes it can be like, oh, another Zoom, but like remembering that this isn't a work call. Like this is like your old girlfriends. This is like your partner. Like this is, you know, whatever. And if you don't want to do like the back and forth catching up, somebody's telling me about Netflix party. Do you guys know that?
I just learned to watch something together.
It's kind of like a Zoom platform to be able to watch like a show together.
Yes, because if you watch that Tiger King show and you don't have somebody to look at and go, holy shit, then are you even really watching it? You have to react. Like I had no
idea. You can't watch that by yourself.
Yes. Is there some sort of platform for this or people are just doing it?
No, like I think it's an app, Netflix Party.
What?
Yeah, it has a video call feature as a part of it.
My
clients who's alone right now told me about it.
Netflix party. Okay, we're gonna look that up. Okay, good. And finally, let's talk about rescheduling. I have to share with you, and this is something I put on my IGTV that I posted yesterday. Something I've noticed that's happening, right? So initially people are getting really stressed out. They're feeling down. They're feeling despair, because they're worried that they're going to have to reschedule their wedding. You know, now we're getting messages from people like, my wedding is in July. Like, do you think I'm going to have to reschedule? Should I reschedule? What should I do? There's all these questions, ifs. And I have experience with a couple of my clients now that we've, you know, so to speak, given in and rescheduled. I gotta tell you, like, you feel so much better once you rescheduled. Mm-hmm. Like, it's I didn't expect this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of like getting, for me,
because
I've never been stung by a bee, like getting a bee, you're afraid that's going to happen. You're going to get stung. One day I'm going to get stung. And then you get stung and you're like, that's not so bad.
Right.
You know? And so I'd like to talk a little bit about that because it's in the wedding industry, this is the big, 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 big one is, you know, should I cancel? Should I reschedule? All of you know by now that we're saying reschedule, don't cancel. Mm-hmm. But can we talk a little bit about how to cope with that kind of state that you might be in on the, you're on the fence about it. Do I do it? Do I not? What do I do? How do I settle myself? I hate this feeling, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So there's so many layers to this. There's so many people in different camps, right? So there's like the very stressful, uncomfortable place of being in what you're describing is like this state of ambiguity.
That's the word.
Yeah. Ambiguity. Humans do not like ambiguity in general. We like things to fit neatly into categories and piles and, you know, we can wrap our minds around them and things like that. So we just don't like that to begin with.
Some people are more uncomfortable with it than others. I know, yes. Like between Michelle and I 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. I was saying, I just hope my October clients, October, mm-hmm. I just hope they push it to 2021. I just want them to get it off of their, off. I want it in the back burner. They have too much else to think about. These are the same guys that went out into the woods that lived in New York. So uh-huh. I just,
and
was
I
like,
was, and I was Michelle saying, what? Was like,
you know, why? It's October. It's fine. And I remember saying, because I'm the type of person mm-hmm. that finds it much easier to wrap my brain around. And after that's done, fully process. And like, once I'm in 100%, I'm a doer, but it is way easier to wrap my brain around something that gives us more time rather than ambiguous time right mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. And I knew that about myself, but it's their wedding. Obviously they have to make the decision. And to my great relief earlier this week, they did. But I remember Michelle and I both had very different, and this was just 2 weeks ago, different mm-hmm. levels of anxiety around that ambiguity. Like
totally.
Some totally. People so are just better yes. with it.
So one partner might be like Christy and one might be like me.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Exactly. So I think that like erring on the side of the partner or the person in this dynamic who has the least tolerance for ambiguity might be helpful. Like if you're looking of how the decision tree of how to determine what is best for us, you know, maybe kind of erring on the side of the person who's going to be most distress during the time period. And then kind of going with that.
My husband,
I don't think that's a foolproof like method, but it could be helpful. And I think that what goes into that decision making is everybody knowing for themselves where they fall on that spectrum.
That's very good advice.
That's a good conversation to have.
Yeah.
Cause my husband's really much, much better at like, oh, well, we'll find out when we find out, like with mm-hmm. things that keep me awake at night. I'm like, mm-hmm. I have to know now. And he's like, well, you can't control it. You'll know later. But he has multiple times been like, since it's driving you crazy.
Yeah. Let's just do it.
Let's just do it. Just pull the trigger, make the whatever. But what he really means is since it's driving you crazy, which is driving in turn, driving me crazy.
Me crazy.
Let's just handle it. Let's just handle it. Even if we're jumping the gun or whatever, I can think of several instances, but like, because it is better for your mental health and you are a powerful influence in the world of our family.
Yep.
It's better just to like get it done, whatever. We have to spend more money. We don't want to wait for the insurance to come through. What, you know, whatever. Just do it because we have the means right now, thank God. But like whatever it is, so that we can put a stamp on it and move on in relative peace for a while. And with all this adjusting and reacting that you're talking about, relative peace means something. Like a couple days of not stressing out sounds fucking great right now.
Absolutely. So then that brings in kind of like this conversation around like cost benefits for all of this. I think that a lot of us, like when we make decisions, we tend to talk in terms of like pros and cons. In my therapy sessions, when we're making decisions, I flip that just a little bit and talk about like cost benefits. Cost benefits of doing something and cost benefits of not doing something, and really flesh out like what are all of our feelings about each of those. It comes out to be four scenarios: the cost of doing this, the cost of not doing this, the benefits of doing it, the benefits of not doing this. And then come to like what makes sense for you guys. And I think when we flesh out all of those things, what ends up happening, it's a lot of times not a black and white decision. It might be something, which I know a lot of couples are doing right now, is like, okay, we're going to push our reception out, but we're still going to get married at City Hall because it's very important for us to start our married life on this date, you know, or we were doing it on this date for reasons preceding this year or something like that. And so you might find that in between decision that's perfectly uniquely right for you guys as a couple in kind of like the fleshing out of all of those things.
Yes, that makes sense too, especially when you're thinking about all the reasons that you may reschedule that still haven't come to fruition yet with whether it's a city mandate or a travel mandate. But what you have talked about maybe is what your priorities are. Like, I do not want to have a wedding of any kind without my grandma there, or I do not want to have a wedding of any kind unless it's at this venue. And then those, those solids that you have are what you need to.
Your deal breakers.
Yes. Your deal breakers are what you need to move forward with, even though there's a ton of variables on either side of those.
And to that end, I want to also mention something that, I've noticed that a wedding planner, well, on my, from my experience, and Christy and I've talked about this a little bit too, I feel like a lot of my clients, COVID-19 aside, they hire me for a more peace of mind, right? Like, you provide wedding therapy like the actual licensed therapist.
But I am, it is not lost on me that every wedding planner is a surrogate therapist. And so I came into the fold.
And I literally, and I've seen this, I've seen a couple articles written right now and advice, from bigger platforms saying now might be the time you want to hire a wedding planner. You know, now might be the time that you want somebody to take this over for you or help you navigate rescheduling or consult on an hourly basis with a wedding planner, because you need some professional help now. And I've had, you know, I remember this one instance, I had a couple call me and say, you know, we don't really need a planner, but can we just pay you for a couple hours of consulting? And I was like, sure, you know, I'll meet you. I don't really do this anymore, but I'll meet you at a place. And within an hour and a half, you know, we're talking and they're showing me things and I'm telling them things, and I could see them having a little bit of conflict, but trying to make, you know, be good in front of this person that doesn't know them very well, you know. And then I go to the bathroom and I come back and they're like, yeah, so we need to hire you because you've already like helped us with our mental health right now. Like, and so I throw that out there because it occurred to me as you're talking and everything we've been talking about, that, you know, you all might want to consider hiring a professional at this point in time. You know, if you're rescheduling your wedding or not, or your wedding's next year, whatever it is, there's going to be a lot going on in terms of recourse from everything happening right now, just in the world. And I want to urge everybody out there, just, I had a client the other day say to me, okay, we're going to reschedule, but God, it's just going to be terrible if we have to like reschedule again. And it's going to be like, at that point, like, why are we even doing this? And I heard that in her voice and I was like, let's not go there. Like, you're going to have your wedding, you know? And I urge those listening, like, just, I mean, I know it's easier said than done, but just keep remembering that why you were having a wedding in the first place, why you're getting married, and roll with the punches and be flexible. And maybe some of you, we will hear stories of a second reschedule, but so what? Who gives a shit? You know what I mean? It's always something to look forward to. And I just want you all to feel happy and eventually, and feel sad if you need to, it's fine. But there are things to look forward to, and your wedding being one of them. And so flexibility, everybody, and maybe hire a wedding planner at this point.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel. We just don't always know how long and twisty and turvy and steep or whatever the tunnel's going to be. And I remember when I was pregnant the first time, we took like a parenting class, and the woman was so great because she was always saying, like, what matters in the end is that you have a baby in your arms. It doesn't matter how you get there, C-section, natural, epidural, at home, like water baby, like doula, midwife, doctor, surgical team, like, you know, Mm-hmm. Keep the avenues open, but keep your eye on like the destination, the end goal, the light at the end of the tunnel. The important thing is you just have a baby. And mm-hmm. then we reminded ourselves of that multiple times, like when we started to feel stressed about the hospital visit and blah, and, you know, all these things that you can stress out about. Like, the important thing is at the end of this, we're going to have a baby. And then mm-hmm. we shifted that to the important thing is that the baby eats. Like, mm-hmm. we don't care about how nursing versus this, whatever, you know, like, don't mm-hmm. put all that on yourself. But it was helpful to keep that as kind of a mantra. Like, the end goal is what you're going for. You might have to reschedule 2 times. Mm-hmm. The world is going through something unprecedented. In mm-hmm. 20 years, you can tell your friends, oh yeah, we were one of those couples that had to reschedule our wedding.
Yes.
4 times. But in the end, here's our wedding pictures, and it wasn't anything like we thought it was going to be originally, but God damn it, it was mm-hmm. a great day.
And we were meant to be. You know how strong we were as a couple. If we were able to withstand the pressures of all of that, you know, yes. that we would stop at nothing to see this marriage and this wedding through. Like, what a testament it says to your partnership to be able to navigate something as scary as this in like such a unique and vulnerable time on your partnership, like, right? Like, you're about to take this big step and it's already inherently vulnerable. And now you're going through one of the scariest things that like our whole globe has going on for it. And you're going to make it through to the other side with like the love of your life. Like, this is a major thing and accomplishment. And like, when people say congratulations at your wedding, like, you will be like, yes, you're right.
I want to thank the Academy.
Absolutely.
Hey, Landis, I also just wanted you to throw out for anybody out there, like, we are always activists for therapy, and now even more so. And, you know, it online therapy is something I've done. It's mm-hmm. easy from the privacy of your own home. And those out there that might need to talk to somebody, clearly they can look for you, right? Mm-hmm. And we will give your information, but let's say like their insurance might cover it or whatever yeah. it is. How do you go about finding that service? Yeah.
So, it's a big question you're asking. I wish it was more, sort of streamlined. But it's very like, regionally based. So a lot of big cities have really great platforms, for finding therapy locally to you and figuring out something that meets your needs therapeutically and within your budget and going through insurance or not. Different cities are like, you know, kind of different when it comes to like, are you an insurance taking city? Are you not? Like, New York City is very, mixed, you know, things like that. So there's a lot of variables in it. I can speak to some great platforms that I am connected to in that have resources in New York City and other major cities. So companies like My Wellbeing does therapist matchmaking, and that's mostly local to New York, but in the midst of COVID, they're expanding a little bit. So that's great. Zen Care, one word, is a platform that has been helping therapists to kind of move into the 21st century and have like platforms where you can really get a vibe from them through video, and their blurb is not so like convoluted and jargony and things like that. So that's another great avenue to go towards. A lot of times, if you just Google therapist near me, you'll get the Psychology Today directory, which can be a little bit big, like every therapist is on there. So it's a little bit hard. And I think that like, if you're in a not as big of a city, then that is going to be kind of how you find your therapist. So I would just say like, finding a therapist is a relationship like any other. So give yourself some time to adjust to somebody new, ask questions. Almost everybody gives you a 15-minute free consultation. So take advantage of those and know that you might have a handful before you decide somebody you feel really comfortable with. They might ask you like, do you have any questions? And a lot of people are like, I don't know, what questions am I supposed to ask? You might ask things like, what's your style? Who do you work with? Who do you like to work with? You know, can you help me with these things that I have going on? What can I expect in the first session? What can I expect after that? Things like that are always good questions to ask. And if you know you want to go through insurance, oh, and the other thing is some people don't take insurance, but they can help you submit for out-of-network benefits. A lot of people don't know if they have out-of-network benefits, but you can call your insurance and ask that question. And what that means is that you can see any therapist that you like, and after you hit a certain number of your deductible, once you hit that number of payments, it might be like $1,000, then they will start covering a portion of those sessions. So you can actually get reimbursement back and still see the therapist of your choice and not worry that if you switch jobs and switch insurances that your therapist is going to change because you're already on that track. Anytime somebody calls me and sets up a consultation with me, if I'm not the right fit for either a therapeutic or logistical reason, I tend to spend a little bit of time and walk people through this. So we try our best when we have consultations, if we're not the right one, to help you narrow down how to find that one. And if you're doing that in your specific area, hopefully people can kind of guide you to the next best
referral.
Step. Yeah. And in our right now, in the context of COVID, everybody's doing online therapy. The restrictions around video conferencing have been lifted by Trump. So we don't have to use like fancy software. It's accessible to everyone. So that's actually made it a lot easier for us to be able to see people via telehealth. So everything's really accessible to you in your home.
Awesome. This is really great. I really appreciate you re-recording with us, Landis. I just feel like this is such important information to get out there. We wish you your health and safety of you and your husband and your expecting child.
Thank you.
And did we talk about your Instagram and your website already?
Sorry, I said it at the very top, but is there another? So it's Instagram at IELTalk and IELTalk.com.
Right, exactly. That's where you can find us.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Landis.
Thank you.
Christy, outro, what do you think?
This was good. I'm happy we did this.
This was good.
Yes.
Thank you guys for having me on. It was really good to come back on and talk about things that feel really pertinent right now. So thank you so much.
It's our pleasure.
Tell us how you're doing, everyone. And if there was any big takeaways for you from this episode, we would love to hear them. And I know Landis would love the feedback as well. So we'll pass on anything we hear. And if you listening have some coping mechanisms or little tips or tricks that you and your partner have done or agreed not to do to great success, we would love to hear about those as well. Please subscribe on iTunes. If you're listening on iTunes and you rate and review us there, it matters so much that we get those ratings and reviews so we can stay at the top of the list for other people to find us. On Instagram, we are at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and we use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding. And we do look at every DM that we get and respond. And anytime anybody tags us, we love that. We love to see your photos. So if you're in the midst of wedding planning or wedding changing or whatever you're doing, we would love to hear from you there. On Facebook, you can look up The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. And we also have a community group, TBWPP community group. And that is a great resource. Full of other listeners all in the same or similar positions as you, and everybody's very generous with their questions and answers there. And it's sort of a hive mind network for Michelle and I as well when we want to touch base with the listeners directly to see what y'all are thinking and what you want to hear about and what questions you have. We go to that Facebook group. For all of you in there, thank you for being there and for listening and for joining us. Please email us if you have questions or comments or want to share something. TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast@gmail.com. Our website is TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast.com. We do have a search engine there. If you have specific topics or guests you want to look up, then you can find those episodes. And we have a Patreon page because we are very grassroots in our effort to make this podcast happen every month. patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. $5 a month goes a long way for us. We appreciate all of you patrons so much, and we hope you are loving the bonus material and episodes that we put out for you on that platform. Our phone number is
415-723-1625. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.